everybody. Because see, I appreciate you. Because you're laying there in a hospital room, and we've all laughed about it. They put me in the smallest room they had and the biggest guy, you know. And I couldn't walk. The furthest I could walk was from here to Brother Luis there at all, and they wouldn't let me walk that. But the thing of it was they had me in this room, and it was fixed up to filter out, I reckon, all of the things. And this great big pipe ran through the floor and ran up, and this machine was running, and I don't know what in the world they was doing. But, you know, then you get a phone call, and you think a phone call don't mean nothing. But when you're stuck in a place that you don't know where in the world you at and what's going on, a little phone call is a great thing. So, you know, I thank God for all of that and all of it. They had trouble trying to find me in the hospital, but that's all right. They moved me about and done it. They took care of me. I'll just put it that way. But I appreciate your prayers is the main thing. You're praying every day and holding me up. Okay. If you'd like turning your scriptures, turn to where we've been reading for quite a while, and we'll just pick up right where we left off. And let's go to Revelations 3:14, and then we'll go to John 1. I guess if Bob's sick, you gonna take Wednesday or what? Just leave it that way, I guess. Okay. We'll leave it on that basis, okay. But I hope you keep in mind all of these things of the announcements that Terrence has made, and we'll make them over and over and over, because we're trying to get a place, you know, and to do where we can all be together. And in this building, we can all be together, and we can have 10 by 10 square foot left over. You know, we can fellowship together, okay? But we'll have a good time in the Lord. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. All right, let's go to John. And in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Jump to verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Father, we thank You for this day and opportunity to be able to come together, to fellowship together in You. And we pray that You would just bless us now and guide us. Give us, Lord, of Your love and understanding. May we walk in the light of the love in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I had a long time to, you know, to meditate and think on a lot of things. And, church, I believe that you and I are right on the threshold. I told you when all of this started with the virus that it was not the end. It was the beginning of the end. It was just starting the phases coming down. But we are coming now, all of this election time, all of these things. That's none of my business who gets president. It ain't going to change one thing. I don't care if they make every one of them president. Give them 50 more of them or whatever. It ain't going to change nothing, because we're here at the end of all things. And being at the end of it, then let's rejoice in that, because we know. See, we know that we're at the end. We know that we can't continue this situation of existence for a long period of time. It can't be done. So we know that things will have to take place and whatever. But just remember one thing. God is in command. He's taking care of it. Don't worry about it. You say, well, I don't understand all of this, Brother Dale, why, like Wade was bringing out about the, you know, people that are sick are the people that are Christians a lot of times, and the others are doing better. Well, you know, don't worry about it. I thought that we believed that there was nothing put on us that God didn't allow it to happen. I mean, that's my understanding. Now, that's not talking about a daily little old cold or sniffles. Or, that's part of it, too, yeah. But the main thing are large things coming on people that are believers. You say, well, why? Well, he's putting them there to test me and you. He's putting it there to test us. He said, Brother Brown said, this bride would prove to Satan that she wouldn't fall like Eve. So then whatever it is, bring it on. Let's get on with it and get everything underway and just rest in Christ and say, thank you, Lord. And things start going wrong. You just pray and come together and pray and fellowship together around the word and let it all wind up, finish out. Because it will. And we're on the threshold of those things. How long? Who's worried? I'm not concerned about how long or what's going on. I'm concerned with the fact of what you and I are doing with what God is allowing to happen. Now, that's my point. What are we doing with what God allows? Do you agree that he has to allow these things? He couldn't get on to Job until God turned him loose. Satan can't do it. He can't do those things. All right? But see, to think that if my name is called in heaven, I think that's a great thing, don't you? But what if your name is called in heaven and it comes forth that you're an overcomer? What a great thing. Okay. Let's just keep those things in mind and just think about it that we're here to end. And as it finishes everything up, then we are the people that the ends of the world has come upon. That's what the Bible says. All right. So let's rejoice in where we're at and what's taking place. We don't rejoice in bad sicknesses and all like that. No, but we rejoice when we're healed and brought out of it. It's a wonderful thing. Amen. Okay. All right. Now, back when we started with all of this, and I kind of backed off and let the brothers start ministering, and I certainly appreciate them. They have done a marvelous job taking over and bringing the word to us, and I appreciate it because they're doing great. I'm thrilled at watching them because I like to watch young people come up and move on. I like to see you gain ground and do things. But I like to see you gain ground on your own. That's the one thing, is gain ground on your own. Helping people is great. But for us to worship God and just move on in our own. Okay. We were in the beginning of the creation. That was our title and thoughts back there, and we'll continue on to think about these things, because remember the point that I was trying to bring out then, and I've listened two or three times to the same message to make sure and try to follow it, is the beginning of the creation, that God so placed it before us till it's a marvelous thing. We go to Christ the mystery, and we talk about how that all God was, he was in Christ, all Christ in the church, take her back to the Garden of Eden, etc., and all like that. We see those things, but my point was to try to get you to think about the creation, all right? And in that thinking about it, we talked about it in three stages. We talked about it as stage one, that God comes into being in a stage that would be counted as from, how would you say it? Brother Branham will say, he said there was nothing back there. Right? And he'd emphasize there's nothing back there. Then in a minute he'd say, but the great eternal God. Well, see, there was never a time, never has been a time, there should be no thoughts in anybody's human mind to think that there was a time that God didn't exist.
That's right. Amen.
Because who would bring what into being?
Right.
If he was not there and to be able to bring us, we wouldn't have got here.
Right.
But we ought to think about that he so marvelously, I sat down and I really cry about it. Because to think that God would reveal to a group of people his very plan and purpose. You're a part of that plan and purpose. You're a part of it. That's what it is. It's not something that he thinks up along the way. He knew it from the beginning. All right. And see, in that then, he's the beginning of the creation back there. Remember, we put it in three stages. Put it back before the foundation of the world or whatever. Then we brought it into Jesus Christ coming on earth into human flesh, into a body to live, and then to bring it to the bride of Christ, to bring it into the finishing up of the creation as it would be. Now, remember, we talked about new creation just as a minute to make sure our thoughts are running right. When you use new in the Bible terminologies, it's not necessarily meaning something new, especially it does not reference to something different. It does not reference to something that was here and in here and all. It's, to me, it's just a point of seeing how that God could come into being. All right? Now, I said we hold it to the three stages because, see, he's still coming into being. Amen. Ever born again believer. Amen. Ever born again believer. Coming into the body of Christ. You realize that makes you a part of God? Amen. You say, no. Well, what does it make you? It makes you a part of God, that inner being, that soul, that part of you that God is working on. And as he does, he brings it into being and showing us that he had a beginning, not he had, that he didn't exist, there's nothing, nothing, and all at once something, no. It's just the fact of one thing. I wrote this down where I'd emphasize it. Beginning or new, in other words, is a starting point, sure. Because that's the emphasis, new, you know, starting or whatever. But it's really starting the fact of how that God can come into being. See, we can see how a tree, plant a seed, grow a tree, it comes into being. We can see how all of the things of the world of life can come into being. But do we ever think about that God coming into being? Not coming into being that he was non-existent. Not the fact that he was not there in his fullness. Because he was God in the beginning, he'll always be God. So you can't make it anything else. All right? But see, to think about it, then it just means there's something going to come into view. And God is going to unveil himself and reveal himself. And see, then that's why I say that when we come to the third stage of it, we get to that stage of seeing that Christ is the mystery of God revealed. He's in his bride. Amen. And that comes forth into that perfect time. But thinking about it, how that we see him come into being back there or unveil himself. And as the Bible says, as we was reading there, the only begotten, he has made him known. All right. See, then we think about, well, was there a time that God didn't exist? See, those things are really of none use to me. I don't want to call it a lot of crazy words, but that's of none existent things because, who would ever think about a time that there wasn't a God? Then who started what? See? No, you can't do that. But to think about that God would think so much of his people, that he would come down, condescend, whatever the words you want to use, move down into a realm that human mortals can have a little idea about God. You know, just a little idea about him. Because that's all we're getting. When we get out of this world, there'll be wonderful, marvelous This is the way I see it, because I believe we're just getting ready here to be able, when we get there, to be able to understand what's going on. All right. And he'll express all of those things, and you and I will be there, and we'll have a wonderful time fellowshipping together around the word that we heard. And say, do you remember? I remember sitting there that day, and all at once, it just come over me, and God just began to reveal himself and open his word and begin to bring it out to where I could see. And you say, well, that was wonderful. Because, see, we'll have a wonderful time to do. All right. But talking about how that God comes into being, stage one of the three stages of the beginning of the creation. And that's why we're using it that way. Because, see, in Revelations 3:14 is to this age. That's this age. Right? And this age is the age to get the revelation of all. To bring it all into being that we can see it. And we can see how that God is coming forth and how he began to condescend. And as he was condescending, he would have to open the eyes of mankind to be able to see. So it begins sometimes in baby form, and I would say at all times in baby form, because it begins in the basis of little bitty things that we can follow. Well, you know, that's why maybe I look at it in a funny way, but, you know, to explain something in baby form, you know, I mean, really it means you explain it where the baby can understand, first off. Do you realize, what if, you don't ever think like that, what if God had not sent a prophet of the caliber, ever how you say that, caliber, ever style and manner, that he is? What if he'd sent a theologian? What if he'd have revealed himself? And I ain't saying that he doesn't reveal himself to the theologians. No, we're not talking about that. I'm talking about God's promise in the word to send us a prophet to restore the word. All right. Now, we're not talking about degrading nobody for how much education or whatever. We're talking about the simple thoughts of understanding that you realize when a prophet explains something, he makes it so simple. How many of you remember the first time that you heard him say, well, you know, there's not three gods. There's just one God. Well, we Baptists said that. You know, we others said those things. But he says, he's not in three persons, but said, it's like a father. He said, I'm a father and I have children, a son, and said, you know, I'm a human being. Well, here sits a group of people in a church. I'm not throwing no slangs. I'm talking. All right. Coming from back in the old Pentecostals move and things coming through that some of you can well remember that, you know, it was a hard times and tight times and different things of going and all, but yet God was there. And you know, simple people could understand. I was listening, we were last night to Brother Branham talking, and I know this happened with a brother that he pronounced some words and said some things one time about something, and the law got after him. And maybe some of you heard that, you know. And as they did, because they was using words, you know, that were not, shouldn't be used, I guess. But you know what? That prophet would just talk. And he could talk in a language that everybody can understand. Now, this is my idea of education. Here's my idea of an education. An education is a basis of being able to know and communicate. I mean, what good does it do for God to give Brother Luis a great mastermind of all of the things that he could explain the wheel and where it came from or something? What good is that if I don't understand what he's talking about. I don't know what a wheel is. I don't know what a thing is. See, but he can take it and break it down and say this and this and put it to a basis. If he can, then he's the educated person. The educated person is the person that can get across what he's talking about. Okay, do you understand it that way? An educated person to me is a person who can get across what he's talking about. If I can't get it across, what good is it for it to be education, you know? I've tried to explain things to people, and I did. We were thinking about a brother the other day, and I loved him so much. And but we were talking about the seals, and I said something about one of the seals and how it fits in this way or that way. And he said, "Brother," he said, "I don't understand." He said, "I'm not saying you're wrong." He said, "You're right, I guess." He said, "But I just don't have the ability to understand what you're talking about." Well, you know what? I never did go off and throw a great... I went to a brother the other day and told him something. He told me he couldn't even understand what I was talking about. No, that broke my heart. That I didn't make it simple enough. That I didn't break it down enough maybe for him to understand. But I thought more of him because he was willing to admit where 99.99% of the ministers, I'll say it that away and not throw it on no stone, wouldn't even listen long enough for you to try to explain the things. You know, try to express it. And I began to try to find a more simpler way of expressing what I was talking about. And I think it worked and, you know, has finally come to the basis that we can see that we're talking about the one true and living God. The entire Bible, the entire message, everything is talking about God revealing himself to his people. And to sit down and be able to read a book or listen to a prophet or read the Bible and be able to think about it. Think about that, hey, I can understand that. You know, I can comprehend what's being said. And see, then that way, if I can comprehend it, then I'm part of it. You ever thought about it like that of your own self? That you're a part of it? Because only by being a part of it, we'd be able to comprehend. But it'll never be the great theological terminologies of life to understand the word because it'll never work. They have to be used. They're there. Brother Branham used them. I mean, Brother Branham would talk about a theophany, a logos, and he called it theopapy or something, you know. He couldn't even pronounce the words of what he was doing. But you remember what he said. He said, "When I have trouble trying to understand these things," what did he say? He said, "I go look it up." Well, see, a great theologian, a great, you know, intellectual person, "I know what that means. Cat means cat. Well, we just leave it to that. What are you trying to do?" You know, but a simple-minded person, and if you'll think about the Bible, and I'd invite you to go all the way through, why is it in the Bible you have, you have Moses and Paul, right? Two highly educational type of form, right? The rest of the Bible is not that way. No one could compare with Paul on his understanding. We take the communion without even thinking about it. But to think that the communion was passed down to the disciples and they were there when it was the first time and all of these things, but yet when it was all finished, Paul was chosen to explain the communion. Why? Because he had all of that background. He knew all the things that, like Wade brought out, how that there's certain plates left, there's certain things left. Paul knew every bit of that. And he could put it into simple terms. People think Paul is a deep part. No, he's very simple. He makes it so simple until really the educated fall over in the simplicity. Now the point that I'm trying to get at is Can we see the condescending of God that as he comes into view, as he's coming down through that frame of whatever you call it, the existence of whatever, that were, that he was there as self-existing. And we can think about him as being self-existing. Well, see, that may be hard to think about, but you know, this is what makes it easier for me to understand. He was self-existing because he knew the people that he was going to exist with
right.
would be very simple-minded and would require him to bring it in simplicity. So he does this. And he says, that'll make that plain to them. They can understand the Godhead because I'll put this here, and all down through time, all the prophets will be trying to explain this thing that the theologians can't see and they think is a Trinity or something,
right.
and they, but they can't see it in there. And said, here is a man makes it so simple until everybody can follow him. And said, the measure of it all to bring the last in the end time, because I think that's what I think about Brother Branham. I think that he was the most educated man that has ever been.
Yep.
Now, that sounds funny, don't it?
Yep.
No. But I think he was the most, he wasn't illiterate. See, he wasn't ever in any form of those, but he was to the form that he would put everything so simple.
Amen.
The greatest teacher that I've ever heard.
Amen.
Sit down and teach children.
Yep.
He said, okay, now today. He said, we're going to talk to the children.
Amen.
You know, teach children his word. And they can understand him. That to me is a great masterpiece of an understanding, is to think that then in this last days we would receive the word of God to where that it would be so plain unto us until the children would understand.
Amen.
What does that say about the fool shall not err therein, you know, because I can't. But do you see it? I mean, you're thinking about those things and you think how that he began to unveil himself. And if we'd have been back there, we could have got a better understanding, but he knew we weren't going to be there. He knew we were going to be right where we're at. This is the age of understanding. This is the age of the bringing forth of God and his word. All right. And it's so marvelous to see that looking back there and you see him coming forth. You can't see him. And then we get into the scriptures. See, the scripture used to throw me. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Well, I mean, that was wonderful. That was okay. I could follow and comprehend the point of that. But when coming to find out that you can't see a spirit. You can't see a spirit. So he's coming from something that cannot be seen in that form. Now follow me. That way, he could never be understood because it's a spirit.
Amen.
Right. And he still remains that till this day. He's still the spirit. Everything is still the same. But yet he could express himself till he could move over into another form. And then another form and another form. And as it is, he gradually unveils himself. And as he unveils himself, the first thing he does is reveals himself. And see, we look at those wordings, but that's what I've been trying to get you to see. And I've got this very almost, I know they're the same notes, but little order different. But, of back when I was trying to bring forth this in a way. So go ahead, let's get a few and then we'll take it up later. Because I want you to see this. I want you to see not only, see everything in the Bible is basically in threes.
Right?
See, it's laid out that way. And if we follow it in that way, then stage one is your foundational. And then see, you move them into stage two, and it's more realistic because you come into Jesus being in human flesh. All right. Well, see, what about when it's coming to the point of him being revealed in you?
Amen.
Right now.
Amen.
Right now. Right now. Not, you know.
Right.
And brought for that. Go ahead with number one there, brother. Because I want you to think about these things. Because that used to bother me when it says God is a spirit. Well, I'd say, well, okay, how are we going to ever understand a spirit? You know. Because you can't see it, feel it, hear it, smell it. You can't do none of that with a spirit. And do you realize God is still that? But yet he so masterfully has unveiled himself until he can sit right beside of you and you can recognize his presence. You know, he can walk with you. He can talk to you and you'll recognize it. Look what he says off of questions and answers. No man has seen the Father at any time. Now watch it. Look how marvelous a man is explaining it. How simple. No man can see God in the bodily form. Now he never said nobody can see God or understand God or comprehend this. But what is the form that you can't understand him? What is the form that you can't understand him? See, no man can see God in the bodily form. Why? Simple answer. Because God is not in body form.
Right.
Simple answer.
That's right.
Somebody says, well, you know, how can we do that? It can't be done. Not in a bodily form. God is a spirit. All right. And no man has seen the Father. Now, here we go. But the only begotten of the Father hath declared him.
Amazing.
See? All right. Look what he's saying. But notice now, there's nothing there. There's just space. There's no light. There's no dark. There's no nothing. It just seems nothing. Now watch him. But in there is a great supernatural being. Now remember in the prophet explaining a supernatural being or any form of talking about a being, to him it's a real. It's real. And get that from me because that's what I believe. See, if it can come from non-existence of understanding to an existence of understanding, it becomes a being. It becomes something that can comprehend and talk with us in fellowship. What I like is where a prophet would explain, like he said that he made man. He said, then when he said, when he made man, made animal, made this man. Said, when he made the man, he said, he saw that Adam was lonely.
Amen.
Right? You remember that? He said, Adam was lonely. He said, you know why? Because he was lonely.
Amen.
See, he had nothing to exist with him. He was lonely. That's wonderful to me. I mean, our great supernatural being, Jehovah God, who covered all space of all places at all times. He was from everlasting, he's the beginning of creation. All right, now I like that because he breaks it down instead of the beginning of the creation of God. He's the beginning of the creation. God is going to be made manifest. He said, that's God. Can't see nothing, can't hear nothing. Not a move of an atom in the air.
Amen.
Not nothing. Not no air. No nothing, but yet God was there.
Amen.
That was God. Now watch for a few minutes and all. No man hath seen that. Now that's the Father. That's God the Father, see? Nobody has seen that.
Right.
You can't see it. It's a spirit.
Right.
He's still a spirit. My Father is a spirit. I don't have any trouble with you know, saying, talking to my Father as a spirit.
Right.
Like one of, I remember a man told him one day, he said, y'all crazy people said you ask God a petition for healing and said, you ask it in the name of the Father and said in the minute you put in there in the name of the Son and said, when you get the Holy Ghost in, said you got all three trying to deal on one thing. And I said, no, that ain't the way it's dealing. It's what I can talk to him in spirit form. Can't you comprehend? Can't you communicate with God without having to talk?
Yes, that's right.
You will have to admit this. I believe it's true. The biggest portion of my prayers are silent prayers, and I would not, never, in any way, tell you to be that way, because it's not. It's just a part of me. I'm just like that. It's just something personal. I don't have to go in a closet, and I'm not throwing nothing. I don't have to get before a picture. I don't have to do anything. I can be working at General Motors. I could just be putting motors in where I'd have to grab that hook and sling it in there and jerk that motor up. And what, 800-900 pounds? Sling that thing around with my own body, sling it over in the frame, and the guy'd help me and we'd set it down. You know, and I could just be talking to God. And saying, thank you. Thank you for what you've let be made known today.
Amen.
And I've always said this, I never go to church if I don't get something.
Amen.
I don't. Because I'll get something if it's nothing else than thank you, Lord,
amen,
for everything.
Amen.
Because that's the way we ought to be.
Amen.
We ought to thank him for everything in the world that we have, will have, or ever, anything. Is keep him and rejoice over the fact of what we've got.
Amen.
You realize, see, you're younger people coming up, you don't understand. You know, we were life another day. First job I had when me and my wife got married, I made $40 a week. That was my job. $40 a week. And we paid rent. We paid light bill. Didn't have no telephone. Couldn't afford it. Didn't have a lot of things. But you know what? We lived. You know what, my wife, she made a lot of the clothes of the kids as we come along. And that's what I was thinking about. I was just sitting thinking, you know, Lord, what has it been? Look what it's been so great to me that I've come from here to here to here to here. Well, that's what I'm trying to do here now in speaking about God and his ways. All right? See? So, go ahead with number two. Just pull up the... Run it on down, save time reading. Okay, right there. He was, other words, now let's get down to something that we're talking about. Forgive me. Adam, the first man in the lower creation of God. Adam was the first man in the lower creation. Lower creation means you're dealing down to where you start from. See, look. The first creation was God himself. You say, well that just blows me, because how was God ever created? He wasn't. That's not what you're talking about. When God coming into being, unveiling himself, showing himself, revealing himself to where that you can comprehend it. The first creation was God himself. So that's why we spent so much time in that, of going back and saying, well, what was he back there? What did he look like? What did he do? What did he know? And all that, trying to get just simple things to word for you to understand. Now back up prior to this, he says God is, from his point of God is a spirit, he said God made a spirit man. All right? See, that was his beginning, was a spirit man. In other words, what did he do? What did he do? He just moved. Some of himself is, he just moved from this to this. He just moved over in another form. And as he did, it opened up, and there he begins to see his family. Now he's standing back there as to non-existence of any man to comprehend him, but he's already got in his mind what he's going to do and how he's going to make his family and impart himself to his family, because that's his being and his doing. That's the whole thing, is to impart himself into you and me. See? So then in that, the first creation was God himself. The first thing you can think about coming into being, it that would be, tangible, I guess. Tangible would be a word. There's coming into being something that can be comprehended. Now, I like to hold it that away first. Watch. Not to be seen, because he's still in spirit form. But so that he could be comprehended. And he reveals himself. And then things start coming into being. And he sees all of these things in his mind. He knows what the future is going to be. He knows all of the things before he ever even starts. Why? Because he is the first of that creation. The first one to come into being.
Amen.
See? And then by him coming into being, that means we're going to come into being.
Amen.
Yeah. We're coming into being because we're a part of him.
Amen.
All right? Glory. And see, look what it's saying then. He was, in other words, Adam, the first man in the lower creation. In other words, the first human thing, first mortal thing in the basis of the humanity. Now, not dogs, cats, because they were created first. But the humanity side, doesn't matter what you put it in, Adam would be the beginning. All right? Now, he said the first creation was God himself. Then out of God came the Logos, which was the Son of God. Now, how can God be comprehended according to what we read in John? The Son has brought him into the open, or showed him, revealed him, made him, all right? See? Then out of God came the Logos, the Word, which was the Son of God. Then out of the Logos, which was the Word. So just think about it. You say, well, did the Word have to come into being? Not come into being like there never was a Word. He always was the Word. That's what I love about John 1. I love it the way Brother Branham says. Let's see. In the beginning was Elohim. Elohim was with God and Elohim was God. I believe that's the term, didn't it? See, it's always been God. The Word has always been that. You just don't understand, church, how marvelous to conceive that God would reveal himself to mankind. And he come through the Word to you. Because the word logos and all of those come back to the word speech. All right? And see, he spoke us into existence. Back there. You say, no, that puts us back. No. You're the ones going wrong. See, I'm still in his mind. I'm still in spirit realm. You done got off into the land. Come on back with me now. Get back over here to where you can stay in the land that I'm talking about. The spirit land. To where we can see how God is a spirit. But yet he begins to unveil himself. But you know what I like? No. What was his first creation? A spirit man. Why? Because he was spirit. See, the first part of your being, whatever you want to call it, when we talk about body, spirit, soul, et cetera, thing, you realize the first part of your being in spirit realm is the realm that God was in when he began to create. The spirit realm. The place that you can, and that's why, see, we talk about, and we put the emphasis, and I believe it's there, of the soul is the main part of the human being. I believe that, you know, I believe that's your being because I believe the soul can condescend deeper into understanding than the body and spirit. But yet the spirit is a marvelous thing. Your spirit within you is a marvelous thing. You realize that it keeps you alive, that it operates through you and does things and you can do it, see, in the spirit realm. So don't ever get to the point of saying, well, we don't need the spirit. No. I've just always taught you what I believe. I believe that Adam's soul was eternal because the prophet said it, blasphemous names. All right? Eve's soul would have been eternal, but everything from then on, mortal. But you know what? even a mortal, with any contact of God in a spirit realm is a marvelous. You realize that everything in the world is created by thoughts of mankind? Right? Thoughts of mankind brings into being all of the things that we have in the world. Cars, you know, electricity, everything is brought in because it's part of God. All right, go ahead. Go ahead to number three. Just pull it on up to the orange part because that's the main. You can listen to it backwards and forwards and see if I'm off or what. But yeah. Now, no one has seen God. Uh-huh. And now the next thing we begin to see by eyes of supernatural looking. We see a little white light forming out there. What is that? That was called by Bible readers logos, or anointed, or the anointing, or as I was going to say, the part of God began to develop into something so human beings could have some type of an idea what it was. Now to me, that's a definite, I mean, that to me, that takes an old theologian, sets him aside over here and says, this hush, you don't understand what's going on. Let's get with a man that can break it down to where we can understand it. Because that's what he said. And look what he done. He said, little light moving. He was the word. That was the word. Look. Now, God gave himself birth to his son. Now, remember what it was? Son of God. It's not back there. Now, he's not back there. He's not a baby that flops out in the human elements. No. We're still in the spirit realm. Right? See, God gave himself birth to this son, which was before there was even an Adam in the air, or to make an Adam. See, that was, Jesus said, glorify me, Father, with the glory that we had before the foundation of the world, way back in yonder. Think about it. Almighty God, wanting to dwell with his humanity. That gets me, it breaks my heart to think how that we've degraded it so much of what we've done with it with mankind, but yet that he's been so marvelous and wonderful to reveal himself and to bring it down and to promise that he'd send us a prophet because he knew we wouldn't be able to understand him. He knew with a prophet that it would be hard to understand. So he sent a prophet with simplicity. Language, thoughts, his haints and carries and totes and the things, you know, that didn't bother me. Like I've always said, you go up north and you say, you know, to them, they say, what do you want to eat? And so, well, I want some maters and taters. And they'll look at you and, maters and taters, yes, I want some maters and taters. They'll go off grinning and giggling. Right? Because your language, but they don't bring you soup. They bring you maters and taters. It's the different language. They want to say tomato and potato. Well, okay. That's fine. Let me get my maters and taters. See? Ain't got no problem. We was up there one time and this guy said, I'll cook anything in the world y'all want. He said, but I don't do grits. Because you could see he was contrary to Southern terminologies. He said, I don't do grits. All right, let's get on a little bit further. Go ahead to number four. We'll just take some of these and then I'll take it next time. Notice God is fixing to make another creation. He creating mortal earth, mortal life, angels sing in heaven. But here he's creating a new life. Eternal life for man. Now, what about creating eternal life for man? In other words, won't you use it this way? He's going to bring into being eternal life. See? All right? But here he's creating a new life, eternal life for man. And he's singing to his subjects through angels on the earth. Not in heaven. Not in heaven. Heaven had eternal life. But when you moved eternal life to earth and that baby was laying there, and then he could come and sing. Because that was what he was creating. There he laid in that little cradle. He sang to the heavens. When the mortal creation came in, and here the immortal creation is coming in, and now they're singing to the earthly people. The first thing to shepherds. Isn't that wonderful? To think about a mortal, an immortal being revealing himself to immortal being to revealing himself to just a mortal being.
Amen.
To where we can understand. So we can hold it together and keep it in line. All right. Go ahead for number five. Excuse me. Yeah, number five. The holy blood that was created by God, the blood, the life, the creation of God. Jesus was the beginning of the creation of God. Oh, you see it? God made in creation. Coming into his creation, coming into his part. He was spirit. The Bible said he's the beginning of the creation of God. How did he begin? He began in the wombs of a woman, which is what the woman is not. You think about it. Why did he say wombs? Yeah. Why did the prophet say wombs? That makes him exactly right so that he can come over to, what is it? I'll think of it in a minute. About the spoken word. Look. The natural wound and the spiritual wound. The wounds of a woman. Mary had to accept in her spiritual wound the point of the child to be born and what God would do. Then she had to accept in her physical wound. So what about, he's back over here in the middle of the message somewhere and he just drops it and goes on. Well, to me, when I'm studying, I don't look for something like that. It just finds you. I'm kind of like my wife. You go to the store with my wife and what did they used to do? The blue flag. But anyhow, you walk in the front door with my wife and she goes, doink. And there's a light in the back going, choo, 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 choo. Not really, but it just, see, and here she goes. Sales. She finds the sales. They find her. She don't have to hunt them. They find her. It's kind of like that man told me apart, Hamrick's that time. He said, I sure do hope nobody don't rob this place. Well, I do too. But what do you mean? He said, cause my wife's fingerprints is on everything in here. So that's the way women are. Okay. All right. But listen, see the wounds of a woman. Where did the beginning of the creation of God start at then? In the womb of a woman. And she gave birth. The very part that should have been. Go ahead, number six. Jesus Christ is the beginning of the creation of God. Revelation 1, is that right? Then when was God created? He is the beginning of the creation of God. And God is eternal. Is that right? But when God was created, now you're going to deal with a mortal part of God bringing into being something that will be of the part that he has to have to be able to exist with the mankind. Because if he's going to create mankind, he's going to have to be with mankind. Spirit realm, he can be with them because they're spirit, but he's coming into mortal thinking of what he's doing. So listen, but when God was created, when was God created, see? When a little baby that was conceived in the womb of a mother a virgin, and she began to develop these cells into her to bring forth this little baby. That was the beginning of God's creation. For God was made flesh and dwelt among us and became Emmanuel, God with us, the beginning of the creation of God. When did God have a beginning? He doesn't have a beginning. He has a time to come forth into time, into a situation of life, but he never begun because he was eternal to start with.
Right.
See? He was eternal to start with. He was back there. All right. And in all of that being, you think about it. Think about all of that being, because I know I've been questioning this for 40 years about God back there and what did he wear and what did he do and what did he say and how did he... And I've always tried to explain one thing. God wanted to make himself known.
Yes.
And in doing that, he would have to have a certain plan and way to do. So he would make it manifest through the simplicity, and he'd bring it right into mankind. Right? So now think about it. See, stage one, we talk about before the world and him stepping forth from behind all of that or whatever, him coming forth into that to make himself known. All right? We stopped it. Remember, I kept emphasizing spirit, spirit, spirit. All right? But see, now that would bring us to a place that we could fellowship in spirit.
Right.
Right? We could fellowship in spirit because we would be his spirit offspring and fellowship with. But there's more to it.
Amen.
See? Because in that spirit realm, he already back before all of that come into being, he was a father. He was a healer. He was a savior. He was all that. So all of that had to come into being. So we only got to the part that spirit man could come into being. And Adam could come into being in the garden. All right? And be placed over the animals in the, I read it to you there, in the spirit realm, see? Because he's a spirit. So he could fellowship with man with that, and God could come down and fellowship with him and everything. But then he had to make him a body. Because that wasn't enough. See, he made a body because he knew he was going to make a body to come live in. He knew he was going to do that because that would be the point. And mankind would come forth into being. But we stick more with, to just try to keep the point. Stage two, what? God coming into mortal being. And back there, all of that Old Testament, you study it, you get in there and you get into finding God and his reality of being. I've always said it this way, you can find God in studying because who was the fourth man in the fire. You can get literal things. You know, you can get into those things and study them. You can study it in the spirit of mankind because the psalmist would write of the spirit and the things that would take place and how he was and what was doing and all. But the soul of man is not mentioned a whole lot in the Old Testament. It's there, but it's not mentioned a lot. But see, then it gradually comes forth into being to see the reality of a living God because God is real. And when that body was created, a spirit steps into the body. The body's not eternal, but a spirit steps into the body. A soul steps into the body. Now you've got body, spirit, and soul in the way that God would want it to be to where that he could be mortal. And then he could fulfill the scriptures that would talk about him, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. So he could start coming into being as to what he really wanted. He wanted to fellowship with us.
Amen.
You remember that I said there a little bit ago? He's lonely.
Amen.
It didn't matter how great it was back there. I mean, I laid up there in the hospital and I thought, I'd like for somebody to keep the walls down where I'd know what's going on around here. because I'm messed up. And it wasn't much as a head messed up. It was just everything there was messed up. I mean, I'd ask for something, and you know, I kept trying to tell him, I said, look, would y'all mind just getting me some clothes and getting out of the way? You know what I meant. Get me some washcloths and some soap and get out of my way. Y'all go leave the room. I'll take care of everything. You know, lady said, I can't do it. Said, you got all these things. And that was what was so funny. I could sneeze. She'd open the door. I mean, she would just, boy, just like that, as quick as I'd sneeze or move. Cause all that was hooked up. I reckon they was thought about going to die or something. And they had it all hooked up wondering what was going on. But, it was fun, but it wouldn't. Okay. I just hope nobody has to go through those things. Cause it's all right. But now listen, let's get this point and then we'll quit in a minute. Okay. See, we go from stage one of God moving in from the unknown, the supernatural, the thing, moving over into realms that it can be comprehended. All right. We got to the spirit realm. All right. He could be comprehended in the spirit realm because he was spirit. All right. See, then that would not be the end of it because that would not fulfill. As spirit, he couldn't die for our sins. He couldn't do this. He couldn't do that. And all of the things that he was already had to be, he could not have brought them into being to stayed in to the realms of the spirit realm. So he had to bring it into the natural realm. And when he did, then you see Adam coming into being. You see Eve coming into being. And you see, as I said a while ago, then about it, that Adam, I believe, according to blasphemous names, read it, that Adam's soul was eternal. All right. And Eve being a part of Adam, I believe her soul was eternal. Because Brother Brown said Eve's soul was in Adam. Now, not in Adam like two people standing there trying to fight out who's what. No. But see, God just simply reached down and took from that body and brought forth an Eve. But he brought her forth in the correct order. You say, do you believe that Eve's soul was eternal? Well, the prophet said it, that Adam's soul was eternal. Well, where are you going to put Eve? And then you go to questions and answers and Genesis, and he'll tell you that Eve was in Adam in theophany. Well, where Adam was, Eve was. And if according to the prophet of that message book that he says your soul is your theophany, all right. See, then they could have eternal life in their soul. And look what would have happened. Just give you a little run through. Look what would have happened had Adam and Eve not sinned. Do you realize what was standing there? Do you realize God's family was standing there? Adam? With the ability not to have children, as we call it. That's you do what you want to, or what would have been what. I'm just saying it this way. If it hadn't have been for the fall and things, Adam and Eve could have produced spoken word children. And all of us would have been brought into being. Okay? But you know what would be? We would be like Adam and Eve. We would be body, mortal, soul, eternal, spirit needing eternity, having a lot of dealings with it, but needing it. Well, what if it happened that Adam and Eve didn't sin? Okay. See, then we could have all went to the tree of life because the tree of life was already in the garden. I love that. The tree of life was already in the garden. We could have went to the tree of life and ate of the tree of life and come forth with eternal bodies. Because that's exactly what we're doing now. We are eating the Word of God. And eating that Word is going to make these bodies eternal. Right? And see, in doing that, it's a wonderful day to realize the time and the position. But he had to stop now to get my point for just a minute. He had to stop at that stage of bringing forth a body. because he was a father, he was a son, he was a human. And to do that, he'd have to have a mortal body. So the Old Testament would see things moving in and out and speak of it. But then all at once, here comes a virgin bringing forth a child.
Amen.
Bringing forth a little feller.
Yes.
And that little feller wound up being God Almighty in human flesh.
Amen.
I love the prophet when he says, you're God with no teeth. Now, forgive me. Okay. I'm sorry that I sometimes laugh. But I try to do it inwardly where everybody don't know that I'm laughing. Because, you know, it tickles me to death to see people try to explain the Godhead. And you hear them trying to explain it, and when they get through explaining, you say, that sure is a mystery. You know, that's a mystery how that could be. But do you realize all of it was summed up and brought in Jesus Christ? So let's stop at that point, then we'll take the others on the next. Jesus Christ was God made manifest in human flesh. No more and no less. All that was ever needed or ever would be needed or anything could be done was right there in that man. He was the healer, the savior, the all of the things that God had in the beginning that he wanted to make manifest. He couldn't do it as a baby, so they could make fun of him. He couldn't do it as a young child and coming on up. And couldn't do it even when he got on up into certain ages. And they'd make fun of him and, you know, oh, you're just a illegitimate baby. And he'd say, okay, I'll forgive you. I said, now one day the Holy Ghost would come and said, it's not going to forgive you. But they didn't care. But he said, I'll forgive you. I know you don't understand. What would it be? To try to explain, you know, I don't mean wrong, but for Brother Donnie to try to explain how to take that car apart and put it back together right here and not leave no parts out and it run. Richard done that one time with a motor and it actually run. I told him, I said, I'm surprised. But you see what I'm getting at? That you got all of these things to bring it to this stage. Now when you get to that stage, you just, all you do is you just put it on hold for about 2,000 years. All right? And you come through all of the things that would have to do with it. The Jobs and the Abraham and Moses and all of the things. And you bring all of that. And that's where that I love the way the prophet would say. He said, and the prophets built the body. Now that's something to me. That the prophets built the body. But one day that body stood there. And he said, unless you see that I am he, you'll die in your sins. They had to crucify him. He couldn't go no other way. But yet think about it. That he is still at that stage. They said, show us the Father that suffices. He said, have I been so long with you? He said, don't you understand? Don't you understand all these things that's been taking place around here and all the healings and the signs and the different things that's taking place? And you're wanting me to tell you to try to reveal me to you? He said, you're to understand it by just looking and seeing what's going on and knowing it. Let's stand together. Come on, musician. I hope you caught something from the point, because all I want you to see is God made manifest. And you have to see that in stages. See, you could look down there at him and say, that's Almighty God. Well, that's true. But he wouldn't make it manifest. You need to wait until you can make manifest. Anybody have a need before we go and just pray one for another? We're going to have communion now. So don't nobody run off. We're going to have communion. And they're going to come and take over. Wade will. We'll just sing a song. If somebody needs something, for nothing, then turn it over to him. And they'll direct you out and all in the doings and whatever's to be done for us to take communion. I told that to Brother Quinn the other day, talking to him there in Ireland. And he said something about communion. I said, well, we had communion the other day. How did you do? I said, well, the brothers figured out, and they just took all this and had all of the things and the trays and things, and people just walked right down by them and just took the communion. And he said, that's marvelous. You know, he said, that's good.
Amen.
So let's just sing this one verse. If anybody has a need.
Let's sing that chorus, I am blessed. I am blessed. Oh, I am blessed. Oh, every day that I live, I am blessed. When I lay my head in the morning till I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. Oh, I am blessed. Oh, I am blessed. Yes, I am blessed. Every day that I live, I am blessed. When I
people.
Amen.
Amen. To just be able to get together. We talked to Brother George Quinn, and
thank you.
They can only travel 2 miles, and the police will stop them and ask them where they're going. 2 miles. They can only get food and travel 2 miles, and that's it. They can do nothing else. So we're blessed to be able to at least move around and do what we do. So we thank the Lord for that. So let's go to 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. Let's read our communion. And then when we get finished praying over the communion, they'll go downstairs. We'll sing another song. And then you'll start from the back, exit out, go down, go by, take your communion, and stand out underneath as we did before last month. And stand out here and wait till Brother Dale and the rest of us get downstairs. And then he'll tell us to take the communion. Okay, everybody got that?
Amen.
Amen. All right. For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup that he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. This is not just a ritual. We're supposed to remember what Jesus Christ did for us. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Now, what's the body of the Lord? You and I. All right. And we're the blood by the Spirit, as we said a couple of Sundays ago. So this includes us, the bride of Jesus Christ. This is not just something we do. We all are a part of the body and blood of the Lord. And if we eat and drink unworthily, we're guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with this world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together into condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come. So let's just take a moment of silent prayer. Brother Brown says, pray, clear your mind, and also pray for your pastor. Amen. So let's take a moment of silent prayer. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says he took bread and blessed it. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this bread, Lord. It's been prepared, Father, to do one thing, and that's for us to partake in this communion, Lord. And we pray now that you would just be with us, Lord, in the furtherment of this service, Lord, as we break this bread. We know, Lord, that your body was broken for us. And Lord, if anyone has an infirmity, Lord, here in this building, Father, or listening to us tonight, today, Lord, we pray that you would just heal their body, Lord.
Yes.
As you were broken for us, Father, you're going to put us back together, Lord.
Yes.
We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Remember Brother Bob Wednesday night be preaching for us. Lord, as we always say, give us our daily bread. Our daily bread is not this bread here, but it's the bread we just heard.
Amen.
Jesus said, I am that bread that come from heaven.
Yes.
We can eat natural bread and we'll be hungry in the next few hours.
Right.
But if we eat the spiritual bread, he said, you'll never hunger.
Right. Amen. Yeah.
Thank the Lord for the hands that prepare this. I can remember sitting on the counter in Gillsville in a house up on the hill there, and we were in the Baptist church, and we left there in 68, but during that time, I think we were the ones that kind of held the communion, and Daddy would buy the little things in a box, and there'd be little cracker things, and they would get them out, thaw them out. Well, it's kind of spiritual, isn't it? Thaw them out. And that's all they knew to do.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then get the grape juice, and then when you got the grape juice out, they'd have to cut the grape juice to make sure that it didn't choke anybody. So you see what? But see, that's a type of them diluting the Word of God.
Right.
We don't dilute the Word of God. We use fresh wine.
Right.
We use fresh bread, and it's prepared by. We don't know that could have been made whoever that was made for that back in that time, but. But this was made fresh, and then it will be burned in the evening after we get finished with it. Nothing will be held over because we want fresh manna in the morning.
Amen. Amen.
Even though we're not in church, we still want fresh manna in the morning. Amen. Amen. You want, like Brother Dale said, whether you're on your lawnmower or in your chicken truck or wherever you're at, let God speak to you fresh manna.
Right. Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this wine, Lord, that has been made, Lord, by holy hands, and it's went through a process that you... Lord, instituted that we drink it until you come, Father, because this wine, it gets better with age. It does not, Lord, it does not ever lose its power. Just like your word, Father, it will never, ever lose its power. Thank you for it, Lord. As we partake of this communion, you sanctify the partakers and everyone that's in this building and hearing our voice, Lord, we pray that you'd be with us in Jesus' name. Amen. Those of you that are downstairs, just wait until... Just wait until we sing this song and let the top get down first. And then y'all come in behind if that's all right. And if we get out a little bit out of order, it's not going to hurt anything. So let's go ahead and sing a song.
I am blessed. Oh, I am blessed.
Oh, every day. Go ahead, go down from the back to the front.
When I wake up in the morning, when I lay my head to rest, I am blessed.
Thank you, brother.
Oh, I am blessed.
Sing it to him.
Yes, I am blessed. I am blessed.
Oh, every day
that I live.
Everybody spread out when you get down there.
I am blessed when I wake up in the morning. I am blessed.
problem hidden.